You're listening to Breakthrough Assembly Podcast. Here at Breakthrough, we don't judge, just build. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you hear from God and receive your breakthrough today. Enjoy the message.
We're going to get into this word today. God has done a shift in today. And I like when he shifts because I never know what he's going to do or what he's going to say. Amen. But I need you to know, Breakthrough, where we are. This is going to sound real crazy. We're not in the season of feeling sorry for people that could have gotten what you got, but they chose not to do what you did. Get ready for people to say, oh, they're heartless. They're cold. Get ready for people to say, oh, they changed. Yes, we did. Yes. Unapologetically. Yes, for the better. Unapologetically. You're not going to get me to feel bad. They don't care. I'm okay with people lying. Okay. This mini mega church has given away more money in the last 24 months. I will bank. Put on these churches. Y'all see me on the web. We got receipts. So when people say, oh, they're selfish, they don't care. Let's roll the tape. We are about God's business. So people that want to lie and say how insensitive we are, we were sensitive and sensitive and sensitive until you basically said, I'm not going to stop this. And we said, well, Bible told us, which camera am I on? One? Camera one, tilt it down. He told us to wipe that dust off our feet and keep walking. Where the others that will receive. That's where we are, okay? I want you to understand. It's a serious and sensitive time. Amen. It's a serious and sensitive. This isn't reflective time. This is action time. Amen. All right. So those that's sitting here, those that's watching, now you know where Breakthrough is in July 2nd, 2023. That's where we are. We're about God's business. We're not about making man happy. Come on. We're not about entertaining man's flesh. Amen. We're not about stroking anybody's ego. Right. That's not where we're about expanding the kingdom, sharing the word of God, supporting one another while we're all fighting to become better believers. Amen. Amen. You get that? Okay. I want to thank everybody who came here early today. They got everything back together again. I believe the carpet is dry, but if it's not, it's not dry. Oh well, it'll be dry soon. Public service announcement. I'm just saying it. You know, while we're streaming too, this carpet was filthy. So there's going to be some changes made, especially on the kids' side, for sure. So there will be absolutely no eating, no drinking in the sanctuary, and there'll be a designated seating or drinking area somewhere that we'll find that you can sit and eat. And the designated, we'll have one table, something, we'll have that designated area to sit and eat. Amen. Moving forward, creative people, you can determine where that's going to be. Okay, and we'll attack all violators. Okay. the second public service announcement is, parents, I need you to know where your kids are all the time. And for the time being, kids are not allowed to be outside playing by themselves. Okay, I am putting that as a church rule right now because there are too many kids being kidnapped. Yeah. And it disturbed me that Wednesday after service, when I went out there, all of our kids was right over there playing. You know how easy it would have been for a van to pull up on that side, right? Grab them and snatch them. Okay. And the oldest one, I think, was DJ. And they're snatching people older than him.
Yes, they are.
So when I heard, well, DJ and Amar was there, you know, I love my security and she a bad mama jamma. But people grabbing older, her and older than her as well. So they'll be, I cannot have any of our children being out there being exposed. Yeah. Okay. So that's coming from me. Parents, you're like, well, I want my kids to go out there. Well, you got a yard.
Right.
When you go home, if you want your kid to play, have out there. But I'm responsible for everyone here. And I can't have violators, because when I left Wednesday, there was some weird white truck out there. That truck could have filled about four kids in there. I don't know who that truck was. And the only reason why I picked them up when I got home and looked at the video camera to find out was everybody gone. So we have to be on alert. Parents, I know you're tired of your kids, but you can't just be like, you know, listen, I know you are. Okay. I get it. I respect it. But I don't care if they don't like it. It's for their safety. Yeah. Amen. All right, so I needed to get that public service announcement out there now. Also, no kids roaming in the halls. They got to be in here with you. Okay. They say they got to go to the bathroom. We got to make sure we're giving them a timetable and somebody periodically checking, especially men. Mike, you do an amazing job, and I thank you for you always doing what you do and checking around. I appreciate that. I need Mike. Anthony, I need you on it. You do a great job, too. Security, because we're in here and we're worshiping and we're talking, and then that door can open. Some kid could be wandering, come from the bathroom. They could snatch them. We screaming and hollering. We would never know. Okay. So I need to make, we have to be on alert. So take this from church and take it home too. Okay. Please be on alert. All right. Now that I got my public service announcements, out of there. Oh, and by the way, if you see somebody secretly eating in the church, leaders, go on and snatch their stuff. Go on and snatch it. Seriously. And if they get offended, tell them there's an exit sign. Okay? Because if pastor can come up here and preach him with his stomach growling,
right,
with a microphone, and I got to wait till I get home and say goodbye to people, they could do it too. Okay? All right. All right. So, as we shift, I want to entitle this I did that dramatic pause just because I know people were about to write, and it was just, I was just having some fun. It was just fun while people were like sorry, that was fun. I enjoyed myself too much. I know. We're going to entitle this one, This Is Not That. This is not that. Taught this one before. Taught it before. And guess what? Pastor about to remix that bad boy, because God told me to bring it back. Got to remix. Bah, 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 bah. Hey, until you guys bring me that sound effect, I got to do it on my own. Yeah. We need that in the back, you know. All right. Thanks, Darrell. Darrell gave me the look like I got you, Pastor. All right. All right. This is not that. How many people in here, you're still operating, walking in a promise that God gave you? You said that just about everybody, but that's not true. Because not everybody recognized that it was a promise from God. Amen.
Amen.
Is the air on? Oh, well, no. If it matches what it is, it's not on. What's on the right? On the right, 78? Because that ain't on it. It ain't going to be on until you cut it lower than another thing. Don't yell at security. Yeah, the window should be closed. Can somebody close this one, too, over there? By the way, while we're just having our public service announcements, while we're live on TV, the AC in the other room isn't working. That's why in the fellowship hall, it's humid in the fellowship hall. You know the one we've been having problems with. I already put a call out, but the AC person don't want to show up. And by the way, when we get out here, Mike, so for some reason, somebody has changed this AC and it defaults to 85. So every time when we leave, it goes back to 85 degrees. So when we come back again, it's a sauna in here.
What?
So somebody in here hates cold. So somebody did it. If somebody changed the default and did it. Minavanka, she does no wrong. She does no wrong. So let's move on. Okay? That's all I need to know. If it was Mind and Vinker that did it, then that's all. Listen. All right.
I don't even
Yeah. Listen. Don't bother my Cici, okay? She is always innocent. We're going to talk about when you're walking in a promise. If you're walking, how many people are going to say you're walking in a promise of God? Okay, so if you're walking in a promise of God, what's another word for a promise of God? Okay, what else? Let's act like it's Wednesday. Just throw something at me. Stace, don't look so confused. If you're walking with the promise, what should, oh, let me rephrase it. What should you be walking in?
Faith.
Yeah, the bell's over there. I'm tired. Tired of praise and worship. I don't feel like walking over there. Yeah, thank you. Here in your head. But expectation.
Faith.
We already did it, Jay. We said expectation. No, we already sealed it up. You opened it back up again. It's expectation. When you're walking in a promise, you should be walking in expectation. But you know, hey, can some of us go and slap her because she's sleeping on our drapes? Okay, I don't want Marina to go and bust her up. Expensive drapes, we don't know a slob on it. When you're walking in expectation, you should be walking in hope. But how many people are walking in a promise with no expectation and no hope? And this is why so many times God has said a word, but we don't believe it because we don't expect it to happen and we don't have any hope and or slash what Joanna said, faith. So you can have a promise, but a promise doesn't mean anything if the promise hasn't been activated.
Yeah.
This is why we walk around so sad. God already promised you, but you know why you're sad? Because you know you're not going to get it. Because you don't believe that you have it on the inside of you to do what it takes to get it.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, that's nice, but I'm never going to attain that thing. Or I don't believe I'm worthy enough. Or I don't believe I'm strong enough to do it. Or I don't really believe it. A promise is only as good as the expectation. If I tell Mike, I promise, I'm going to do it for you. If Mike don't expect me to fulfill my promise, when I say I promise I'm going to be over there Saturday, this time I'll be there Saturday at 7. Well, if I told him Saturday at 7 before and something came up and he was ready at 7, but I didn't show up and I told him before, sorry, something came up, I didn't do it. What if this time Mike said, you know what, there's a 50-50 chance Pastor's going to be here. So, Marina, let's go out to eat. Don't start, Marina. You just came back from vacation. Don't start. And if Marina tell him, you know what, Pastor done pulled this on us before. So let's not fully bank on it. Let's just go to a restaurant. And I get to their house at 7 and say, well, Mike, I told you I was going to be here. I promised you. And he was like, yeah, Pastor. But, you know, last time it was like, so, eh. That's how we treat God. When God promised something, we're like, based on how things have happened, I'm going to help you out, Lord, and I'm just going to make a move, and I'm going to do something else. It's only as strong as the expectation. So what are you really expecting God to do? Are you expecting God to do something that only you can do? Sometimes we are expecting God to bring something that only our expectation can bring it.
Come on, come on.
Be it unto you. Thank you, golf course. Be it unto you. I got you, Anthony. I appreciate that. I'll take it at this point. I'll take a golf clap. Be it unto you. This tough crowd. Whew, tell you. Man, the club must have been bumping last night, boy. Be it unto you according to your faith / expectation. See, that's why we built the CG can. Expectation. Be it unto you. Because guess what? You're only going to get it to the extent of your belief. So what are you believing God for? Or are you believing him? Or are you still disappointed? So you're making your own thing happen in Jesus' name. You know how y'all Christians do it. Everything is in Jesus' name. I didn't go to the club to drop it. I went to the club to minister, Pastor. Somebody got to go to the club. So I feel that it's a calling on me to go to the club. There's a place at the altar for you later, Anthony. Okay. We got a spot section right here, right there. I feel called to go to the clubs, not to, Pastor, thou shalt not enjoy it. I'm going because it's dark there, and I'm going with my light. You know your batteries died years ago, right? There's been no light. Amen. You know, I feel God called me to this person. Well, how is God going to call you to that person when you're not picking up the phone when people call to help you? You got to be able to recognize the parallels. You have to be able to recognize the differences. You got to be recognize. You got to have two sides of it in order to debunk one theory. You got to know both theories. You got to know both ways. You got to know what this is versus what that is. You got to know what you got to know. Let me go basic. You got to know what sin is first before you know if you've sinned.
Right. Come on now.
And we live in a world that all y'all done came with y'all crayons and everybody got the color gray. Y'all sucker MCs have colored everything gray. So, hey, it's an all interpretation. I'm trying, Stace. And Facebook, Instagram, everybody is a social media preacher. All you need is a Wi-Fi or a phone plan. And enough, as my nephew say, juice in your phone for your battery to get on there, click that button, and begin to preach your theory. Everybody. And the worst thing that was ever created in the last 10 years were comments. Because everybody want to drop their message or their sermon in the comment section. You got to know what this is. You got to know what that is to decipher. And that's one of the things that we will always do at Breakthrough. We will make it clear. We will not gray it up.
Come on.
Oh, color on it. We doing this thing. Listen, we are in 8K. We are past 4K. QLED. Okay. Crystal clear on you. Where we want to be. We want you to see the color and you can choose what side you want to be on. Whose report you will believe. But we shall believe the report. Come on, old saints. Come on, old saints. Y'all better listen. Oh, did I get a hallelujah? All right. Listen. Oh, Lord. She said, Lord. There are things that you were promised and visions that you have seen. And you're smart enough to see that you may be facing, that what you may be facing or what you're seeing is different. There are times that God is going to give you a vision and you're going to realize that where I am is not what he's shown me. There are promises that you were given, and you're going to recognize that I'm not operating in that promise today. But recognizing that I'm not in that promise isn't a bad thing. It's actually a good thing, because it lets you know that what he has said just hasn't manifested.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on. Oh, I'm starting to feel this in my left leg now. I'm starting to feel it in my left leg. Geronimo, you may, I'm just saying, because my left leg is winding up, okay? This may be one of those times, listen, that I might need just a little, Fiji, you know, my left leg go a little wild. I might need a little backup. I'm just saying. Because there are times that you have to be able to remember what God said to determine, is that now? Because is it now? And you're like, it's not now. So the good thing is the activation has happened, because once you recognize or determine that it's not now, that's a good thing. That is not a bad thing. Yeah. Do you know why it's not a bad thing? Yeah. It's not a bad thing because if you can determine that it's not now, the expectancy is, then that means it's still. Yeah. Yeah. I have some people. Yeah. Marina, later, we got to have a meeting. We have to get together, we've been saying this for months, but I don't want to make the mistake of doing the wrong one. Let's have a meeting and pick what we're going to buy for your mother for the interpreter thing. Okay. Oh, okay. We got to get together. So I got to get about five people. We're going to talk. We're going to all get together and we're going to just pray. And I don't know why I've been so fearful because I hate returning stuff. And this thing is so expensive that I don't want to get the wrong thing and then we have to return it. So we'll get together and see if we can get it in by Sunday. Okay. So that my Navinka can hear everything and get it interpreted. Okay. It's time. Okay, because I need her to be able to shout in any language she want to shout. Okay, so it's time. So, understand that. But guess what? What happens when you're like, I don't know what God said? If you don't know what God said, how can you determine if it's happened already? If you don't know what God said, how do you know you're not in the midst of it right now? You got to be able to say, and you got to be able to, and so not only what God said, but you got to be able to know what he talked about.
Yeah.
Who's supposed to be in it when it happens?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can throw your book. I can duck. I got quick reflexes. Okay. We got a church you could throw something. Understand this. God says you have not because you asked not. You assumed. You assume that the people that were with you when God said you get it would be the people that would be with you when God said you receive it. God didn't say, you have not because you ask not. You are bummed because these people are jacking up your life. But you never ask God, will they be in my life when I get to the promised land? Is he muted? I only hear him like a baby thing through here. What you doing over there? Yeah, she said be free. Yeah, that's right. Let me hear something real quick. No, give more than that. Yeah, come on, don't be cute with it. Don't be cute. This ain't a cute Sunday. All right, don't, listen. My left leg all over the place. See, I'm walking. My leg all over the place. I can't stand still. Listen, you got to understand. Listen, I don't even have time. Thank you. All right, there we go. Darrell don't play today. You know, it wouldn't be a Sunday if I don't say something about Darrell. Yeah, amen. He's going to blow up on social media. People are going to be like, who is this Darrell? Can you put a picture in the comments? You see, it's all about the comments. Amen. You have to be able to back up current versus past. When God gives you a promise, the thing that I always say is we take temporary things and make it permanent. We take temporary things and we make it permanent. You think because of what it is now, you think that's the way it's going to stay. Did God, you have not because you ask not. When God promised it, let me teach you something that has blessed your pastor.
When God promises me something, I say, okay, and I document it. And then I go to, in my prayer time, not at that time of promise, but in my prayer time, I ask, Lord, who's going to be there with me when it happens so I know how to pray for them along the way? Because I've learned over the years, not everybody in this ministry is going to be when God takes us there. So why am I wasting time training up people who won't be there? And so sometimes people say, Mercy was like, give a little, see, Mercy was over there. Her fingers were, I saw you over there. I know, she was looking at me, drawing them up, but she was like this. Listen, she felt it in her shana. It's important for you to understand that in my prayer time, I have learned that my time is precious. I keep trying to teach you yours is too. But if you want to keep wasting it, that's on you. And so when I used to say, people say, who you think you are, that you tell me your time is special. Who you think you are, a child of the Most High God, an heir to the throne, you better recognize. Shoot. You better Google me in heaven.com. They know me there. They know, or probably heaven.org. Yeah. Put your hand down. This ain't Wednesday. Come on a vacation. You just all out of order. Violation. So once you got to learn how to walk in what you've been promised. You got to learn how to walk in what you've been promised. So I've learned over time not to invest in those that's not worth the investment. You're like, well, Pastor, I don't want to offend them. That's your problem. If you don't want to offend nobody, you don't want to receive the promise God gave you because you won't get it without offending some people. Because some people are going to think they're promise worthy. Not understand, amen. Not understand that many, I'm going on what my Savior said. He said many are called, but few are chosen. You the one decided not to walk in the chosen. That's your problem, not mine. You're not going to get the benefits that I got because you didn't put the work in. I got, my knees are dark because I've been on them. I've prayed. I've learned to be an intercessor for myself when nobody else was there, so I prayed for me. Until you've been your own intercessor team, that's why real worshipers, real believers don't need somebody else always touch and agree. Because you touch yourself, agree, passed out, put your own cover over yourself. Woke yourself up, put your hand back on your head, fell out again. And prophesied over yourself while you were out. You got to know the difference between a prophecy and a prophesy. I don't walk in what people said God said to them. I don't waste time investing my time in them when I know they won't be around when it gets tough. When I know you're going to be there when it gets rough, oh, I'm going to give you everything I got. But you got to know the difference between this and that. You got to know. See, that, what is that? That is that promise. That is the thing God said. That's where the joy is. That's where the peace is. That's where there's a group of people that God has set aside for me that's gonna love on me. There's a group of people that's gonna have my back when I don't have my wig on. There's a time in my ups and my downs that they're gonna be there, and if I'm low, if they're too high, they're gonna lay there with me to say, "Listen, I just want you to see that I'm with you, but we can't stay here. We gotta get up." While other people want to get their foot on your head, the people laying there with you saying, "Listen, I got you. So right now I'm going to hold my hand up too and block their foot. So I won't let anybody put their foot on you. I got your back." You got to understand that you won't always be laying here. this is, but this, you got to be able to see the parallels. You got to be able to see what this is and what that is. And have the activation of the that. That promise, that revelation of what God says. God says, you'll be whole. Where am I? God said, you'll be healed. Where am I? Where am I in the healing process? God said that I'd have joy. Where am I in that? Are you getting this? You got to be able to distinctly determine and identify and decipher differences along the way. So the enemy can't trick you with the lies saying you got it when you're not there yet. Saying you're healed when you're not there yet. Saying you're delivered when you're not there yet. You got to know when it's a lie. When the enemy is saying it's over. And God saying it hasn't even begun yet. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Well, go to 10 first. Whatever, breakthrough. Go to 10:19. Having, therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. Somebody say new. And somebody says, and living. Somebody say boldness. You got to get to a point that you are operating in boldness in the things you do for Jesus. But you got to get out of the old, because the old is in the past, and get ready to embrace the new and the living way. But to operate in the living way, you have to be alive in that promise. You have to be alive. Your activation has to be alive. You can't have dead faith and believing that it's going to be. Your faith must be alive. Amen. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance, not broken heart, halfway doubting. A true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. So in order for without wavering, you have to learn in training how to keep your balance. Wavering doesn't mean moving. It means being taken off. It means taking off. What do I mean? I can be on the boat because the waters are moving. So even though I'm moving, I'm not off the boat. You see, you got to learn your balance. You got to learn how, as things are going, you got to learn how to be able to shift your shift to make sure your faith stay balanced. You got to learn how. See, when you're doing this, your flesh says, "Oh, you're doubting because you're not moving." Flesh lies all the time. No, I'm learning how to keep my balance because as the waves are moving, I'm adjusting to make sure I stand with the waves. I'm still standing. I am learning my balance. The only time I waver if I get off the boat because I didn't have enough faith to believe that I could stand as the waves became stronger and higher in life. You have to be able to know the word so you'll know if you're exercising the word. You got to know the word so you know if you're standing on the word or standing on flesh. People ask me questions. I said, how do you know if you're doing the will of God? Are what you're doing backed up in the word of God? If it's not, you're not in the will of God. Well, how do I know? Well, once you begin to read the Bible, you'll learn the ways of God. You'll know his promises. You'll know his law. And you'll know if what you're doing is satisfying him. verse number 11, chapter 11. We're in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. All right, let's go to verse number 8. Okay, let's go to verse number 6. Back up off me. Minister, you're not allowed to complain. It's in the bylaws. Verse number 6. Chapter 11, verse 6. We're there? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Stop right there for a minute. So if I don't have faith, I can't please him? No. Because God knows if you're a visual person and you have to see it to believe it, you won't believe anything that God said. God says, you're going to get that house. First thing you do is want to know the address. Why? You're like, because I want to know where I'm going to live. I want to know who my neighbors are. But who told you that God wasn't getting ready to get some of those neighbors that he didn't want to be on the street for you? And he didn't want you to drive on the street and see them, because if you saw them, it may affect how you live. So many times we want to know stuff that's going to mess up what God already knows. So if you walk by faith and not by sight, you'll just believe what God said and not see what he don't want you to see. He doesn't want another opportunity of you biting the apple and knowing too much. If we just say, Lord, thank you for the house, and start packing and cleaning up, that we won't have any images obstructing the promise of God that would mess up the expectation that he wants. He wants us operating in expectation, not knowing all the time. So, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, let's go to, where are we going? Let's go to 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receiving an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of the promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Did you get that? He did those things by what? By faith. But the thing is, when he got there, he recognized what God said. He recognized this is that God promised. Sometimes you're only going to get to that by faith. And when you get there, faith will begin to show you that is the promise of God. You got to be able to recognize the difference. Romans 4. Go to Romans 4. Romans 4:21. Yeah, 4:19. About to wrap this thing up. 4:19. I'm watching you, Marina. We're gonna have a meeting. Okay, then Mike, I'm warning you. We'll talk to you later. Then thank you, Marina. Welcome back. And not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. But he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. You got to walk in the expectation that God is fully able to do what he said he's going to do. I like the fact that they acknowledged that Abraham at that point was 100 years old. He was seasoned. He lived a little. I like to say he's seen some things. And yet God told him a new was going to take place for him, and he believed it. I want to talk to some seasoned people that you have seen some things, you've done some things, and your belief has got a little staggered. Your belief has gotten a little weary. Your belief has gotten a little shaky. I want to tell somebody that God is still able to perform what he said he would do in your life. And what God wants is somebody to say, I have decided to believe. I have decided that this is the day that the Lord has made. And I have decided that I'm going to rejoice and be glad in this day. I'm telling you right now that this problem they're not dealing with, this is not that. This is not the victory that God promised me. I wish I had a chair. This headache that I'm dealing with is not the peace that God said that I'd be operating in. This is not that. These people who don't have my back, who don't want me to succeed, who don't want me to have the victory, who don't want me to have joy, this is not that. There is a people that God has called for me. And if you will not reflect what God said I'm going to have, you will not be with me when I have my victory party. And you got to understand, it's not about what man thinks about me. It's about what God promised me. And I need everybody to understand what I'm trying to tell you today, that you have to be able to decree and to declare what thus saith the Lord. Not about my this, not about my that. It's not about my mama, my brother, my sister. It's not about who I married, because there's a thing called divorce. It's not about this. It's about that. Okay, I will leave you. He said he won't leave me nor forsake me, but I will leave your butt if you lose your mind and don't treat me like the royalty that I am. I am the heir of the throne. I am above only, and I'm not believed. I need you to understand, you have to be able to see the difference between who is with me and who is against me. And if you are against me, you're not that. You deserve to be loved on. You deserve to be promoted. You deserve the enhancement that God wants in your life. Party people, I want to end with my word the entire time of this message. I apologize. I blame it all on Geronimo for getting me too excited on the org. Amen. I think we have all agreed that it is Geronimo's fault. What'd you say, why? You blame it on the Holy Spirit? Daniel. So I'm so ready to blame him for the next thing. Go to real quick, Daniel chapter 2, verse 30. Daniel 2, 49. Thanks, CG always have my back. Mike came out of that town just hating. 2:49. Then Daniel requested. If you don't have any Bibles yet, just highlight it. You can look at the board, the screens. If you don't have it, write it down. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Daniel sat there watching this. Now, I need you to go to chapter 3, verse number 17. Verse number 14. I know, it's been that kind of Sunday. Stace, yes. I apologize on my behalf, Stace. I don't, let's the Holy Spirit move it, and it's moving faster than I can move. Okay.
Geronimo, I'm trying to keep up. I'm just letting the Holy Spirit do what it do. Okay. I'm just trying to be obedient. Amen. Thank you, Joy. I appreciate you. God bless. I'm going to pray extra hard for you tonight. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Ooh, he got bold. Ooh, he got bold. He got bold. He got a little, what I say, he said, he got a little cocky. I like that. He got cocky saying, well, listen, I got you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, don't get it twisted. That's Pastor Bible's Urban. Remix Bible coming to a church near you. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom pop the collars, who, oh, I know that. If it be so, our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of the hand. Oh, king, pop the collar. I love my Navinka was like, pop the collars. Listen, I love Breakthrough. You can't make this stuff up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. He was mad. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He didn't like them no more. Therefore, he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was once to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that they were in the army to bind them up, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fire. They were put things on them to make them burn more. More things to get caught up in the fire. He wanted them crisp. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The brothers that was trying to get them on all the stuff on them, by the time them putting stuff in them, the fire was so hot, they got burnt up. It's just me and Jay working this day. It's just two-man operation. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. I like this part because we don't talk about it enough. People just assume because it's not talked about that they walked into this thing. The furnace wasn't on walking level. The furnace was lower level. So imagine if I'm up here and the furnace is down there, but when they couldn't just jump. They were bound and pushed into it. They fell into it. So what does that mean? That means they fell into the fire. They fell into the fire bound, tied up, wrapped up. How many times have you been bound by something? With every intention of the enemy for this to be it. And you to be bound, gone. This time the devil said, I got him. This time he says they can't get out. This time they can't even put their hands to lift them up to praise the Lord. Bound them up. Then Nebuchadnezzar 24. The king was astonished. Rose up in haste and spoke and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and says, below,
why do I see four men, hold on, loose? Not just four men. Not just, first of all, he didn't say three. Why I see four, but why are they loose? Jesus, come on. Oh, my God. He says, why do I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire? And they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth looks like the Son of God. My question is, how did Nebuchadnezzar know what God looked like? He saw an image that was so godly, he said, that must be what Daniel been talking about all this time. Because neither eyes haven't seen nor ears heard. He saw something that was so amazingly majestic. He said, that looks like the thing that Daniel's been describing to me. They were not bound. They were not burning. And they were not alone. I wrap it up. I wrap it up by saying, and neither are you. In the midst of people trying to bind you up, in the midst of people trying to take you out, you're not alone. You're not by yourself either. The same Savior that was walking with them is walking with you. The same Savior that was protecting them is protecting you. The same Savior that wouldn't let them get burnt up won't let you get burnt up either. You know what else didn't get burnt up? Their faith. But their faith was solidified because they knew once they saw Jesus with them, His promise was fulfilled that He'd never leave them nor forsake. Because in the midst of the fire, you remember I said before, you know when people have your back, when they're with you. And when the fire is seven times higher than it should, and you turn around and somebody is walking there with you, this is why you got to be able to declare it out of your mouth. Tell yourself, tell your house, tell your atmosphere. This is not that. You got to be able to declare what the victory is. You got to know this isn't victory. You know how God keeps telling us you haven't seen nothing yet? This is just on the road to victory. This isn't the promise. This is one of many. This isn't the promise. I'm operating. This is one of the many. This isn't the breakthrough. This is one in the midst of the many that are coming with my name on it. You're not the Savior. He is my Savior. So, everybody under the sound of my voice, I want you to be able to recognize from this moment on, are you supposed to still be in my life, or were you just part of the transition? I don't have to keep calling you my best friend because you were the best one at the time. You'll get that later. Everybody don't deserve that title. You might have been the best candidate at the time, but you're not my best friend now. And sometimes we call people our best friend because they were just the best one of the crew. But they still wasn't the best one for me. They were just the best one out the bunch. It's okay to realign where you are now. It's okay to reevaluate what you are today versus what you were then to determine if this is that.
it's okay to accept the joy that God wants you to, even if that's going to make somebody else disappointed in your decisions. Today, I pray that you walk out of this message being able to decipher what's for you by God and what's for you by the world. The world will offer you many things, but just because they offer you things don't mean those are things that you're supposed to participate in. Amen. I am praying for my single people in this church all the time. I'm praying that you have the boldness to deny the falsehoods, the imitators, that just because they give you attention doesn't mean that that's what God wants you to have. Just because they want to buy you dinner and they want to put money out for you don't mean that that's the one for you. I'm praying that you'll have a this isn't that. I'm praying that the first thing you're saying, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, it was nice talking to you, but I got to go. Boldness. And not because they're cute and they have money, that you're like, okay, that qualifies them of being a good candidate for me because they're cute and pastor, but they're cute and pastor, they got money and pastor, but they have good credit. But do they know God, and do they, or if they don't know God, do they have a true interest too? But pastor, they'd have been hurt before in church. Okay. You know, I'm at a point in my life now whole church hurt thing that I'm ready to write a book on it, because they had a bad relationship with the church. Oh, that church, they all they wanted was money. Okay, that's that church where the pastor slept with everybody, and yet people kept coming. It takes two to tango. That's one thing. And then three, so I'm not about that church thing because I don't agree with it. So how many times you had a bad boss? Are you an entrepreneur then? Because if you are anti-church because you had some bad pastors, you should be anti-work. So you shouldn't be working for anybody then. Because if all pastors and all churches are bad, all employment is bad, all bosses are bad. So that means you shouldn't report to anybody then. You should be an entrepreneur. You should own your own business because you're the only one you trust. So everybody who's still working, I call bull. I want everybody under the sound of my voice to walk out of here today with a hand over here, a hand over here, filled with what's promised and what's trying to take away my promise. So you can walk each day deciphering if it's what God has for you or if it's what this world has for you. And this world didn't give it to you. So this world can't take away what God has promised you. You don't have to settle for anything. I say all the time at this church, we don't settle. You don't have to. The battle is already won. Victory is already yours. You don't have to settle. Don't get it twisted. Jesus didn't settle when he was weak after the devil took him up to the wilderness, and you don't have to settle either, even in your weakness time. Just let God's strength be made perfect while you're weak. And while you're weak, tell somebody that you know is full of the things of God so they can be there to keep you covered and protect you. Don't be weak by yourself. You don't have to be. Amen. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that this word that went forth today, I pray that it falls on good ground. I pray, Lord God, Father, that it was what somebody needed today. I pray, Lord God, it was the sustainment that they needed to be sustained today. I pray it was the one thing to take them over the edge and confidence, Lord God. I pray it's the one thing that they need to say, that's exactly the last thing I needed to hear to get me going. That was the cap on the bottle today. I thank you, Lord God, Father, that they will walk with confidence, Lord God. They will walk, Lord God, Father, with victory all in them, Lord God. They'll walk, Lord God, with their ruler, Lord God, establishing, Lord God, what you said and putting it over here and measuring to say, I'm close, but
I'm not there yet, Lord God. I thank you in the name of Jesus that you love us so much, Lord God. Father, that you give us the good stuff. You don't give us the leftovers, Lord God. Father, you give us everything we need when we need it, Lord God. I thank you even for remixes, Lord God, that you took something that you gave us before, but you added more things on it today, because you're always adding on the plate, Lord God. You're always adding to it. As we grow and as we mature, you add things to it. You're not taking things away from us. You're adding things to us, Lord God. So I thank you that there's always room for more. There's always room for more growth, Lord God. There's always more room for knowledge, Lord God. There's always more room for expansion, Lord God. So we thank you for loving us, Lord God, and giving us the best, Lord God, giving us the full portions, Lord God, not small portions, Lord God. I thank you that you are trusting and depending on us to be able to absorb the fullness of what you're giving, Lord God. The maturation process, I thank you that we're mature in the things of God. I thank you that you're putting meat on the bone, and we're past the milk stages, Lord God. We're past, Lord God, the frivolous, Lord God, kind things. But we can take, Lord God, Father, the correction, Lord God, and, Lord God, Father, the lift up at the same time. So we always say, have your way. I pray, Lord God, Father, a newness. I pray it, Father, a newness, that we walk in newness today. We walk in newness today. That old things are passed away, and behold, all things are still becoming new. Let discovery be new and exciting to us. Let us not be afraid of the newness, but let us be ready to receive it and walk in it. I thank you for the new territory. I thank you for the new paths where the promises will be fulfilled. I thank you for the landmarks. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you received something and that you're one step closer to your breakthrough. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to share it with your family and friends. And if you're looking for a way to support the ministry, visit the link in this episode's description to see how you can give today.